I would like to start today by introducing you to a friend of mine. I don't think anyone here has met this guy. Maybe you have. His name is Les Rose. When we first moved to Texas back in 2009, one of the first area-wide team things that we did with our church in Texas is we went to a place called the Impact Church of Christ in Houston, Texas. Now, the Impact Church of Christ has been there for a long time, and some of you will probably remember we had a church up here called the Pump Church of Christ, stood for the Portland Urban Ministry Project. When the Pump Church of Christ started, the leaders of that church went to the Impact Church of Christ and modeled their church off of Impact. And every year, the first Saturday of December, my youth group and many of the youth groups in the Houston area that we did things with, we would get together and we would go to the Impact Church of Christ and we would work with Les. And we would give, sometimes it was food, sometimes it was clothing, sometimes it was toiletries. We'd get in their bus and we'd drive all around the Houston area and find homeless to give these things to. And we called it Faith in Action. And every single year, Les would give essentially the same speech. Before we would get started, he would stand there and talk to sometimes 50 to 75 teenagers and adults and say, all right, what I need for you to do today is I need you to put your Jesus smile on. I need you to put your Jesus smile on because we're going to be going out to some people who have never met Jesus before and they need to meet Jesus when they see your smile. And I always remember those talks because over and over he would say, we need to put our Jesus smile on. Today, we are in Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to be looking at, some call it a parable, some will say it's a story, some will say it's a true story of what's going to happen at the end times. But we're in Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start in verse 31, and this is what we often call the parable of the sheep and the goats. Before this, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus has been talking about, he's been giving parables of the end times. And we've looked at some of these. The parable of the 10 virgins happens at the very beginning of Matthew 25. And the parable of the talents happens in Matthew 25. And here to end Matthew 25, Jesus says this. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so we have this picture. The Son of Man coming, sitting on his glorious throne and separating the people as a shepherd would separate sheep from goats. And Jesus says judgment day will be like this separation. The sheep are the ones who did good deeds to those in need, and the goats are those who did not do good things for those in need. The sheep receive eternal life. The goats go into eternal punishment. This is a very vivid picture that Jesus is painting. But we have to dig deep into this, and we have to ask some uncomfortable questions. And so we're going to go straight into this idea of this window. What does this mean? What does this mean? Because the first question that we have to ask is, who exactly is gathered? Who is being separated as the sheep and the goats? Because right here in verse 32, it says, before him will be gathered all the nations. Is this to be taken literally? All the nations? All of them separated this way? Sheep from goats? All of them separated? You see, some scholars would say that, well, clearly because of what is going to come next, it can't be all nations. He's talking about that those who believe will be gathered together. Well, then that makes some scary implications. Because when we're looking at this, if this is just Christians, or just those who believe being gathered together, well, then those who believe, are we judged by our deeds? By our actions? This is very strange. In fact, then you get into the question of why are they separated one from another? What is the distinguishing quality between the two? Why are some on the right and some on the left? And truth be told, this is an uncomfortable question to ask. I want to go back and read some of this again. We're just going to go back to this slide. We're going to start in verse 33. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. What is the deciding factor of why some are considered sheep and some are considered goats? Is it what they do? You see, depending on what faith tradition you've grown up in, you've been told, yes, it's based on what you do. Your actions determine your eternity. And depending on what faith tradition you've grown up in, you have heard, no, your actions have nothing to do with it. It's only what you believe that determines your eternity. I believe that when we look at this parable, what is being said here is before him will be gathered all the nations. Should that be taken literally? I believe yes. That should be taken literally. All nations will come together. All people will be judged. But I believe the interpretation of this parable that it's your deeds that determine your eternity is wrong. Kind of. Let me explain. You see, Jesus starts, verse 34, come you who are blessed by my Father. I think that is a key statement in this parable. You who are blessed by my Father. Because I do not believe that our actions determine our salvation. I believe our salvation determines our actions. You see, I believe our actions are extremely important. because we are called to be ambassadors for Christ in this world. And if you believe in Jesus, but you're not an ambassador for Jesus, you have to ask the question, do I really believe? If your actions are not lining up with your beliefs, do you really believe what you think you believe? That's a question that we have to ask. Because I believe that those who recognize God's blessings in our life, and let me stop right here and say, I believe that all people have been blessed by God. If you are alive on this earth, you have been blessed by God, whether you realize it or not. And for those of us who realize God's blessings in our life and accept them and decide that we want to, as Steve put it earlier, get down on our hands and knees and praise Him for that, our life is changed because of our salvation. And it's not because we feel like we have to, but it's because we have this desire deep within us to share the love of God, to share that salvation that we have received. We have this deep desire that everyone should know about that salvation. This is God's will in all of our lives, that all men should be set free and should be saved. But just because you've been handed that gift doesn't mean you've opened that gift. And we as Christians who have opened that gift, we want to share that gift with everyone. And we desire that everyone receive that gift. And so we have this window of sheep being separated because we have people who have been blessed, all of them. But only some have received that blessing because only some have opened that blessing. And then their lives have been changed because of it. You see, we have been blessed by God, and because of those blessings, we feed the hungry. We give drink to the thirsty. We clothe the naked. We visit those who are in need. Not because we feel like we have to, but because we have that desire that all should be saved. In 1 John chapter 3, John writes this, "For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." You see, those of us who have experienced God's love, we have that deep desire within us that we share that love with others. And we help those who are in need. Verse 17, I'm going to read it again. "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" This is a perfect verse to go with this parable we're looking at. Because we have all been blessed by God. I have so much more than I deserve. I have more money than I deserve. I have more time on my hands than I deserve. And I need to be using those things to help the people that God has created. And yes, we could pick apart all these verses and say, oh, but he's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. And then I would point you back to the parable of the Good Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? Anybody in need. anybody who's there, especially that person that I don't want to be my neighbor. We share that love through our actions. The love of God, we share it by what we do. And John continues in the next chapter. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." And then just a few verses later, John writes, "We love because he first loved us." You see, the sheep are those who have been loved by God, everyone, and who have accepted that gift. And because we have accepted that gift, our lives are changed because of it. Again, it is not our deeds that determine our salvation, but it's our salvation that determine what we do. You see, God's love is habit-forming. God's love, if we have truly accepted it and taken it to heart, it changes our heart. And it changes our habits as well. The sheep are the faithful who have been blessed by God. But if you remember back, I did churchy words. One of the words I did was faith. And this is a slide I used a couple times. Faith requires action. Amen. If you have faith, but you do not have deeds, I'm pretty sure it was James that said something like this. What good is that faith? In fact, he says that faith is dead. Again, it's not your deeds that determine your salvation, but your salvation that has determined your deeds. We love because he first loved us. So I'm going to ask the hard question. Where do you find yourself in this parable? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Do you see a sheep? Someone who has accepted the gift and is living their life according to the salvation you have received? Someone who is doing good things for others? Not because you feel like you have to, but because you want to? Or are you seeing a goat? Someone who, yes, has been blessed by God, but their life has not been changed by that blessing. Remember, faith requires action. Are you faithful? Sometimes this can be a tough question to answer. Because sometimes the answer is, I have not been very faithful recently. And sometimes, truth be told, the answer is, I see the good things that I should be doing. I see how I should be showing God's love to other people. And right now, I really don't want to. I'm going to go out on a limb and say most of us have been there. I'm going to say all of us have been there, really. Every single one of us. I'm going to assume that there might be some people here with us today who are there right now. And you might be asking yourself the question, or saying to yourself, I know the good I want to do, but I really don't want to do it. And so the question then becomes, how do you get back to the point where you do? How do you get out of that slump of, I really don't want to help other people, but I know I should, right? That I feel like I should, but I don't want to. How do you get past that? There's a song. I don't know if we sing it here. I don't know if any of you know this song. Do you guys know Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? Do you guys know this song? All right. I'm going to try this. I'm not a great songwriter, but we're going to try to sing just the chorus. I just have the chorus up here, which is actually in our songbooks that are all downstairs. It's number 983. Our songbook, I found this out this week. Our songbook only has the chorus in it, but then our paperless hymnal has three or four verses to go along with it, which I thought was funny. But indulge me. We're going to try to sing this together, okay?
Turn.
How do you get back to the point of wanting to be like Christ? Because essentially that's what this parable is about. The sheep are those who have been changed to be like Christ. How do we get to the point where we want to be like Christ again? It starts with, where are we looking? Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We have to make Jesus our fixation. Amen. This is how we become more like Christ. We look at him, and we look at him, and we look at him over and over and over. If you are at the point in your life where you know what you should do and you're not doing it because you don't want to, you need to fix your eyes on Jesus. Starting in September, my sermon series, we're going to be going through the Sermon on the Mount. I love the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, next weekend at Manifest, I'm teaching on the Sermon on the Mount for a class, and I've called it Christianity 101. Because these are some of the basic things that Christians need to know about following Jesus. And in the Sermon on the Mount, there is a section where Jesus is talking about, as he puts it, laying up treasures in heaven. At the end of this section on laying up treasures in heaven, Jesus says this: the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Essentially, what Jesus is saying is we need to be focused on heaven. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. It's not literal treasures. He's saying make heaven the treasure that you are seeking the most. Fix your eyes on heaven. Fix your eyes on the things above. The next section, where he talks about the anxiety of the world and how we shouldn't be anxious, begins with the word therefore. Essentially, what Jesus is saying is that the things of this life can cause you anxiety, and that pulls your gaze away from Jesus and away from heaven. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus so that the things of this world won't pull us away. Because here in this world, we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We need to put our Jesus smiles on. And we need to let the world know that there is something different in us that they need, that they have. All they need to do is accept the gift that God has freely offered. That is the difference between the sheep and the goats, is simply whose life has been changed by Jesus. Our eyes need to be forever turned to Jesus. Again, we have to put our Jesus smiles on, and we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. It's not something that's always easy to do. And sometimes our sinful nature pulls and pulls and pulls and has a whole lot more rule over us than we would like. We need to keep our eyes set on Jesus. If there's anyone here who has not accepted that gift of eternal life, has not put their faith in Jesus, the invitation is open for you. If there's someone here who you've been struggling to set your eyes on Jesus and to live that way, the invitation is open for you as well. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and sing.